say that this week I have just been really under a measure of the Father's heart that has just been awesome. Just really experiencing Him, you know, in some deeper ways. And, you know, that, I believe that that's what He's wanting for all of us, that we're really moving now into that acceleration zone where things are starting to really move in a very quick way. And so tonight, I want to talk with you, the title, I guess, of this little thing tonight is Circumstantial Evidence. You ever hear that? Circumstantial Evidence. And, you know, I was, the Lord brought this to my attention this week because it's something that we all do. It's something that we all kind of get caught up in. And it prevents us from really experiencing His heart. And it really robs us of the power of our declarations, you know. And so I'm just going to share a couple of scriptures with you. 1 John 5:4. Who's got a Bible? You can read that for me real loud. 1 John 5:4. Anybody? All right then. don't worry about it. I don't want to take all night. It says, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." Okay? Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Now, you know what's interesting about this? It actually truly says in the original language, whatever. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And I'm going to forget the first time I saw that. I'm like, why doesn't it say whoever? Right? Wouldn't that make more sense? Whoever's born of God overcomes. It says whatever. And I'm like, why? Why would you choose that kind of word to express this thought? And then all of a sudden it hit me. And two reasons for this, I think, came to my mind as I was pondering this thing, right? First was, do you know what part of you is actually born again? Your spirit, man. Yeah. Your spirit is the part of you that's actually become born again, because that's where Jesus comes to dwell. And so you can say that your spirit is a whatever. Okay, you really can. But here's the other thing that hit me, which I thought was kind of funny. The power of God is so great that if He wanted to, He could make anything get born again. Right? Any whatever, anything out there, if He wanted to make it born again, He could do it. His power is so great, right? So this verse is really cool because it says, whatever is born of God, right? Whatever is born again or born of God overcomes the world. And then He defines what actually overcomes the world. He says it's our faith. So you've got these two distinct things going on in this verse, right? So how do you define the world? Anybody? What's your definition of the world? Man, the feedback is just overwhelming tonight. Okay, here's the definition. You ready? The world is the sum total of the material universe. That it's an external, orderly framework of things in which we live and move. All right? And here's a rather quaint definition that I got from a commentary. It is the whole circle of earthly goods, endowments, riches, advantages, pleasures, etc., which, although hollow and frail and fleeting, stir, desire, seduce from God, and are obstacles to the cause of Christ. Isn't that well written? So we're talking about this thing called the world, which is a separate thing from our faith. It's talking about how the world is something that can overcome us. That's what John is saying, right? He says, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. But how many of you know that all that's in the world, everything that happens around us, can absolutely overwhelm and overcome us? Have you ever been there? Have you ever been in a time in your life where it felt like you were becoming totally overwhelmed, overrun, overcome by the circumstances around your life? Yeah. So here we've got a promise from God that says, you know what? If you're born again, you actually can overcome all of that. And the victory, he says, that overcomes, the victory that we have that overcomes all of that nonsense is our faith. So what is that? What is he talking about there? How is it that our faith can overcome all of the junk that goes on around us and all the junk that impacts our lives, you know, in a negative way? Well, you got to define it, right? What is faith? Well, here's the definition that I go by that really has helped me. That faith is a settled position of trust. A settled position of trust in Papa. And it's a trust that whatever he says is absolutely and always true and right. That's faith to me, right? In this context, faith is having that settled position of trust in the Father that whatever he says is always, it's absolutely and always true and right. Does that make sense? Okay, so can you see the contrast here? We have a contrast between the world around us and all the things that go on in the world and all the circumstances that define, not even define, but that affect us in some way. We just established that all of our circumstances, right? You know, we have problems at work. We have problems in our family. We have problems in relationships. We have all these things, you know, that come against us, that come out of this worldly system, right? Not to mention temptations and, you know, and all those sorts of things, attacks from the enemy. The world is operating against us. And so you've got that, and then on the other side you have our faith, which this verse, this Bible verse says, that's what gives us the victory over all that other negative stuff. So how does that work? Well, we always have a choice regarding what we're going to believe, what we're going to look to concerning what the truth is for us, right? The world is always trying to define truth for you. What does that mean? Well, I lost my job. I don't have any money. Am I going to be able to continue to pay my rent, pay for food, pay my car insurance? The world wants to define for you what truth looks like, so that all those circumstances that you're engaging in wants to say to you, this is reality. This is your reality. But your faith on the other side says, wait a minute, what does Papa say about my situation? What does Papa say about me? Okay? So we're looking at this situation where we have a choice to make about what we're going to allow to define what truth is. Am I going to allow my circumstances to define what truth is? Or am I going to allow what God says to be my truth? You see how that works? So, circumstantial evidence. I just flipped out when the Lord spoke that phrase to me, because I knew immediately that he was defining for us what our problem is. Because, you know, in the area of law, circumstantial evidence is evidence that comes not directly from an eyewitness of an illegal act, but it comes from someone who thought they saw something. Okay? Here's the actual definition. It's not directly from an eyewitness or a participant, and it requires some reasoning to prove something. In other words, this kind of evidence strongly suggests something, but it does not explicitly prove it. Here's the example, right? Mary testifies in court that she saw Robert standing over a man with a bloody knife in his hand. She did not see Robert stab the victim. She can only testify and describe what she saw. right? She didn't see the man commit a crime. All she saw was him holding a bloody knife over a guy that was dead. So the circumstantial evidence that she's saying is, well, this is what I saw. And so what God told me, I love this. He said, circumstantial evidence is illegal in my kingdom. You cannot look at your circumstances as proof about what I'm doing, as proof of what I promised you. Because what I promised you absolutely is the truth, and it supersedes whatever's going on around you. Am I making sense? Right? So as his kids, we absolutely have to make a decision. I'm going to reject circumstantial evidence. How many of you, when you know someone asks how you're doing, you'll say to them, I'm doing okay under the circumstances. Why are we standing under the circumstances instead of overcoming our circumstances? See, it's so easy for us because we grew up in this natural realm, you know, and after you get saved, we're learning how to break free of that, but we still look at our circumstances and situations and we say, oh, this is horrible. What's going on, God? What are you doing? All the while, God's been saying, hey, I just promised you that I'm going to meet all your needs according to my riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I just promised you that by Jesus' stripes you were healed. You know, yet, oh, but I feel sick. I feel like I'm really bad. So, okay, those are your circumstances. I'm not saying you deny your circumstances. You just realize that there's a greater circumstance or truth above what you're currently experiencing. Okay? Jesus put it this way. He said, let me read this. I wrote this down. In the same way, we see, hear, smell, taste, or feel something, and we interpret it to mean something. It's like Mary. She saw the guy with the knife, and she interpreted that oh, he must have killed him. Well, you don't know. You know, he might have come across the guy already dead with a knife sticking in him, and he might have just pulled the knife out to try to see if he could bring the guy back to life. See how that could get twisted? So seeing something and interpreting it outside of what God says, we're always going to get that wrong. So we can't interpret our lives according to what we see, hear, smell, taste, or feel, right? We got to believe what he says. So I'm going to read this one more scripture, and then I'm going to ask Keith to come and share what God's been sharing, you know, teaching him about this. John 16:33, Jesus said, these things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation. Or you can put it this way. In the world you have circumstances. In the world you have circumstances. But take courage. I have overcome the world. Where is Jesus living right now? Come on. Right here. Right in your spirit, man. So if he overcame the world, what does that say about me? Jesus said, these things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. The experience of the peace of God in your life comes when you hear what God says to you. If you're not experiencing peace in your life, it's because you haven't heard what he said, and you haven't believed it, and you haven't built your life around that revelation. You're still looking at your circumstances and believing that those things are more real than what Jesus is saying to you. Isn't that awesome? Come on. I'm going to reject circumstantial evidence. Keith, come and share with us what you've been experiencing in this realm. Because we had a conversation this week, and I was just so blessed how the Lord's been, you know, bringing him through this exact kind of experience.
So I've been giving everyone updates over the last year of a step of faith I made a year ago. Actually, it was in December of 2015. The Lord clearly said to me to quit my good, secure job and move forward into a consulting company that was going to be kind of a ministry in the healthcare industry and really reach a lot of people. I had absolute certainty that this is the direction God was calling me. And in my plan, I figured within a month or so, I'd get to start getting a paycheck again, and everything was going to be completely secure. But God has different plans in the way he works. And I've shared again and again what's happened over the past year is that the Lord just continues to open up doors, and then those doors just continue to close. And people have heard this before. I know Ira shared, I was like, wow, I've been there. But this is to the point of, I almost laugh, because it happens like every week. And I'm not talking about like this is a possible pie in the sky opportunity. I'm talking about like working on a contract for like a month, gets to the point, verbally everything's agreed, one more signature needs to go on it, and then the door closes. So the last time I had shared that at the end of the year, there were two or three contracts for some people and very, very large contracts that were pretty much agreed to, and everything looked like it was moving forward, and then there just seemed to be some delays. So I was in a position where myself, my business partner Joel, we were just resting in the Lord. We just got into this place of just resting in the Lord. You know, there was nothing else that we felt we needed to be doing, no other action that we felt we needed to be taking. Not like we were going to push this thing through, but the Lord just said, rest in me. And the last time I shared, that's what I was doing. I was really at a point of rest. In my mind, I'm thinking, look, these contracts are going to get signed. It's going to come through. No problem. Well, the newest update is that the door completely closed because of a potential lawsuit against us. The contracts were not going to get signed. And after that happened, you know, I just thought back on the promises of God, on what I know he's continued to show me over the last year. And I felt this peace come over me. You know, that for the first time, I think I can really say I felt the peace that surpasses all human understanding. Like, it's beyond, and maybe Iris feels this because of the way she was talking, it's beyond, like, just being positive. It's beyond, like, let me have faith. It's just, like, where did this come from? It just wasn't for me. Because in the earthly realm, I couldn't figure this out at all. Now it's been a year, I have had no compensation, or very little, and I'm still seeing that doors are opening and closing. And so I really started to go to the Lord and say, what am I learning here? What spiritual lessons am I learning? And it really came down to, I think about the verse, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding. Why is it saying lean not on your own understanding? Because you should lean not on your own understanding. But how often are we going into the prophetic? Are we going into a situation saying, look, God, I'll do this when I can understand what you mean? No, lean not on your understanding. And then this is the key that I think really opened my eyes. In all your ways, or in all situations, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. I think in the kingdom, that is so critical, meaning in any situation, you lose your job, the opportunity opens, the opportunity closes, acknowledge God. That is such a huge kingdom principle. Because if you acknowledge God in a situation that even if you believe the adversary meant for bad, guess what? You close every door for him to make it a bad situation. He no longer has a foothold to pull you down because you're acknowledging God. And God's going to turn that closed door right around to make it something that'll give him glory. So one of the things in the past 2 weeks that the Lord really convicted me of, and I think a couple times ago I shared this, is I felt like this whole year has been like a carrot at the end of a stick. Like, I see it, I see the opportunity, and every time I step to it, it closes. But then it's not like there's nothing happening. Like, God opens up another great opportunity. I'm like, is this really? I'm talking to Donka all the time. I'm like, is this real? Like, is this really an opportunity or not? Because if I'm like making this up and I'm optimistic, know, I've gone long enough.
Yeah.
But it really is a real opportunity. And then it closes again. So I kept saying, oh, it's like a carrot at the end of the stick, a carrot at the end of the stick. But the Lord really broke through over the last few weeks to say, if you see it as a carrot at the end of the stick, you're looking at circumstantial evidence. You're not looking at the kingdom of God, because it's not a carrot at the end of a stick. It's actually my provision. It's me showing you that I'm in control of all the things that are going on and encouraging you, keep moving on. That's why I'm giving you this supernatural peace. That's why I'm opening and closing these doors, because you know what? The right door hasn't, it's not time for that to open. Maybe there's more that you need to be learning through this circumstance before that blessing comes. I shared last time, maybe it's that the Lord wants to make sure I'm not going to worship the blessing when it comes, because I know He's promised it's absolutely going to come. And so it's just like the Israelites in the desert following after that pillar of fire and wondering, okay, where are we going next? They're not at the promised land yet. That's been promised. Obviously, they wandered because they kept doubting. But it, he said, that's what that's like. When I'm opening and closing these doors, it's my presence that's showing you that I'm absolutely in control. You can hand it over and say it's the adversary closing opportunities, but guess what? Start acknowledging me in it, and I'm going to really help you to see how I want to work with that.
Amen.
And so that's what I'm in the process of doing. And so this afternoon, I laid down for a second. And I was just pressing into the Lord. I was like, Lord, how do you want me to like share today? And it was funny. Danka can testify, because I literally laid down and I said, look, I got to just go seek the Lord in this. I laid down on the couch for like less than a minute. I got back up and started working. And she's like, she's like, are you, what are you doing? You know? Because I knew exactly what I needed to share with you tonight. And I'm a very visual person. You'll get that by what I'm going to share. But the first thing he wanted me to share was this. A carrot at the end of a stick.
Oh my gosh.
You know, so this is what it's like. You know, if you, yeah, so if you're actually trying to follow the carrot, it's never, you're never going to get to it. You're never going to get to it. So that's the carrot at the end of a stick.
Oh, you got it.
Right. So, and what he wanted to show in this vision that I had was I had this carrot at the end of the stick, and then at the same time, he gave me a vision of one of my favorite pictures. And so I saw this picture, and he said, this is what you need to show the comparison of. You know, we may, in a physical realm, look at the evidence and think it's just this dumb little dangling carrot. But it's just the opposite in a spiritual realm. Duncan, if I can have your help.
So this is
my favorite picture that God brought to mind.
Oh, nice.
I don't know if you've all seen this poster before.
Yeah.
So what this is a pillar of fire, you know, leading the Israelites through the desert. And he's saying, it's your choice. You can either look at it as a carrot, or you can look at it as me guiding and providing you. Because you know what? Back then they had to look up at that fire up in the sky. Now it's right here.
Yeah.
Now it's right here. And if you acknowledge that fire guiding you day by day, the circumstances don't matter. Yeah. Folks, I have no idea what's going to happen this week with this job. I can tell you, you know, he's given me clarification on some time frames. I have to continue to seek him out.
Yeah.
But now that I see the fire, now that I see it and acknowledge it for what it is and don't give the adversary the credit, whole new direction.
Yeah.
So praise God. And give over your carrots. See them for what they are.
That's good.
Yeah, I love this because I had no testimony that was anywhere near as powerful as that to share with you tonight to bring this home. And let me grab my notes again. The thing that when you shared with me about the carrot and the stick, the thing that immediately, and I know I mentioned this to you, the thing that immediately hit me about that is, that's not our Papa. Mm-hmm. He doesn't tease us with what he has for us and say, go ahead, see if you can get it, go ahead, right? He doesn't play that with us. And so that's like, you know, you want to take that thing and just break it and say, no more, I'm not doing it that way, because it's not right. And the other thing that, I don't know if I shared this with you, but, you know, when the scripture says in Proverbs about acknowledging God, you know, in all your ways acknowledge Him, the English word really doesn't have the power of the Hebrew. Because when you think about acknowledge, it's like, okay, God, you're here. You know, I acknowledge you, you're here. That's not what it's talking about. It's actually meaning, in all your ways, know Him experientially. Know Him in the midst of what is happening in your life. In other words, in all your ways, encounter Papa. That's what He's after. He wants us to recognize that whatever we're going through, He's there, and He wants us to encounter Him in that, because He has what we need. He wants to be something for us. Isn't that awesome? So here's the thing. You guys can sit down. I don't want to make you stand up here. Thank you. Let's give these guys a hand. That was awesome, right? Wow. So here's the thing. What do we need to do to grow and learn how to ignore circumstantial evidence? What is that, right? What's the process of growth that we all have to engage in if we're going to get good at ignoring circumstantial evidence? It takes us right back to one of the most familiar verses of all, Romans 12:2, right? Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. How do we renew our minds? Somebody tell me, how do you do that? Yeah. We renew our minds through the Word of God. When I don't know His Word, when I am not engaged in learning from His Word and allowing Holy Spirit to show me things, I am robbing Him of the opportunity to change the way I think. Because that's what He's after. He absolutely wants to change the way we think. Does that make sense? So we have to get into the Word of God. You cannot continue to ignore God's Word and expect to grow, expect to develop, expect to mature as a son or daughter of God. Okay? And trust me when I tell you, I am not talking about one of those programs where you read through the whole Bible in a year. Okay? Now, if you're doing that, God bless you. If you feel like God told you to do that, God bless you. But I promise you that that is not the ultimate that He has for us. He wants to speak to our hearts through His Word. And in order for that to happen, you got to take our time. You need to savor every morsel, every portion of the Word that He wants to bring to you. You know, I mean, let's say you're sitting down at that very fancy restaurant and you're having the most delicious, best quality filet mignon and whatever else you'd like to eat with that. Are you going to scoff that down in like 2 minutes and get out of there? Anybody? No. I know I'm not. I mean, I want to let that thing just melt in my mouth. I mean, come on. How many have ever had a really high quality filet mignon? You know what I'm talking about. It's good. Sorry for you that are vegetarians here. It's all about the beef. So yeah, it's the Word of God. But let me ask you this, guys. What really is the goal of renewing our mind? Yeah, it's to think differently, but why? Why does He want us to think differently? It's right there in the verse. That's what I always thought. So, oh, of course, it's because he wants us to know what his will is. That's true. But there's more to it than that. Paul says, so that you may prove what the will of the Lord is, what the will of God is, that which is the good, the acceptable, and the perfect. Now, I don't know about you, but when I used to read this and even study it, I always looked at it from the standpoint of, Lord, your will, it is good, it is acceptable, it is perfect. And it was always from the standpoint of his perspective on it. Yes, my son, this is my will. And my will for you is going to be good. My will for you is going to be acceptable. It's going to be perfect. My will for you is amazing. And it was always like his will from that standpoint of, yes, God, I believe that your will is good. The Lord opened up to me this week as I studied this passage a whole different perspective. Because you know what these words mean? When you study out the definitions of these words, here's what you're looking at. Good means beneficial and advantageous. Can I tell you? God does not need his will to be beneficial or advantageous to himself. He's pretty much self-contained. You understand that? So the good of his will is to benefit you and me. That his will is beneficial to you and me. His will is advantageous to you and me. It gives us an advantage. It gives us favor. It gives us such amazing things. His will is good. Are you getting this? And the word acceptable, oh my gosh, what a poor translation. Do you know what it really says? Well-pleasing. Do you know that the Father's will for you is going to make you happy? It's going to please you? It's going to be well-pleasing to you? You're going to look at that and go, that's for me? That's really for me? I'm telling you, I've been just so rocked by the heart of God this week as I've looked into this and understood what he's offering to us. And this thing about his will being perfect. Oh my gosh. Yeah, we know his will is perfect. But what does it mean for you and me? His will, it's everything that Papa always intended for you to have. It's the end result he always wanted for us. That's his will. It's everything he intended for you to experience in life. Did you know that? Did you know that his desire, his plan, his picture of what he wanted for you is so amazing? And that's his will. It's I don't know how else to put it. It's everything he always wanted for you to experience is wrapped up in his will. And when you start to get that, when you start to have that, oh my gosh, you really do want what's best for me. You really do want stuff that's beneficial for my life, that's going to give me an advantage, you know, that's actually going to make me happy. It's going to be pleasing to me. That's what you want for me? Yeah, my child. This is what I've wanted for you for all along. But you know why we haven't received it? Can I tell you why? Because we haven't believed it. We've been sold a bill of goods by religion once again that wants to tell you that yes, God's will for you is good, acceptable, and perfect, and you better find out what it is and do what he says. As I was getting, I heard another huge religious pillar come crashing down when God began to show me this. That my perception of his will as something that I had to try to attain to or accomplish or strive after was absolutely the wrong perspective. That this was what he wants for me and what he wants for you. And so when Paul talks about proving the will of God, there's two aspects of that. The first aspect is what we as sons and daughters get to do. Here's the definition: to recognize as genuine after examination, to approve, to deem worthy. What are we saying? Papa, you've shown me something from your word. I've gotten this revelation from you. For example, that you want to provide all of my needs according to your riches and glory. That's to me, that's a personal thing. So Lord, I want to look at that. I want to examine that. And does that ring true with who you are? That's how we do it. It's like it's so crazy because the examination of what he says to us, we already know it's true. We already know it's going to pass the test. But we're going to examine it anyway. We're going to look at it. And you know what the Lord is saying? Once you know that this is really me speaking to you, put your stamp of approval on it. Say, yep. And you know what the stamp of approval is? How about I agree? I agree with what you're saying. That this is your heart for me. You're speaking your heart to me from your word. And I'm looking at it and I'm saying to myself, is that really from you? Yeah, it really is. That comes from your heart. I feel that. My spirit's bearing witness with Holy Spirit that this is something that you have for me. Okay? And then the second definition, I love this part. The second definition that goes with this word prove means to test, examine, prove, scrutinize to see whether a thing is genuine or not. Like you would test a precious metal or a precious gem. Okay? That definition is not for you. You know who it's for? It's for the people that don't know him yet. It's for them to look at what God is doing in your life, right? And you're telling them, yo, God is good. My God is good. He's providing for me. He's doing all these kind of great things in my life. And they're looking at you going, really? I don't see anything. But as the word of God begins to manifest in your life, and people begin to see the physical manifestation of the promises of God, you know what they're doing? They're scrutinizing it. They're testing it. They're waiting to see if that's really real. Okay? Is that the truth? You know, you know how you can test a diamond? Somebody gives you a gem and they says, oh, this is a real diamond. How do you test a real diamond? Do anybody know? Yeah, it cuts glass. So somebody give you this big gem and says, oh, that's a real diamond. If you try to cut glass with it and it don't cut, guess what? You got took. You got some cubic zirconia or something else that wasn't real diamond. Right? Well, the people that know you and you're testifying, you're telling people how good God is, you're living it out, they're looking at you and they're testing to see whether or not it's real. Right? How you are experiencing God in your life, right? They're putting that to the test to see if it's genuine, if it's real. And I just love that. And we have that relationship with Papa, right? Where we're experiencing who he is for us so that we can absolutely reject anything to the contrary. I don't care how strong the evidence appears to you, I'm about to go bankrupt. Wait a minute. I'm not going to believe that. My circumstances are here, but his truth is above my... His reality is above this reality. And when I get into agreement with his truth, this truth changes. This false truth, this, you know, this wannabe truth down here that the enemy has thrown at us has to change. And so I felt so much that the Lord wanted us to understand how this works, how our minds actually get renewed, so that as we begin to make the declarations that he gives us this year, we're not going to get thrown off. When the circumstances seem adverse or stubborn, they've got to go. They've got to come under the Lordship of Jesus and come under the authority of the words that God gives us to speak. But to have that encounter with Him, that's the key. You want to make declarations that mean something? Let it flow out of that intimacy with Him, where He speaks to your heart through His Word and says, this is what I want you to say, my child. Isn't that good? I love that. I'm excited. I mean, I love the Lord. I love Papa. It's so cool.